We're in Psalm 121 this morning. I think if you look at Psalm 1, people know. A lot of people know Psalm 23, Psalm 100. I think people treasure what's in Psalm 121. Allow me to read this. I'm going to read it in the sermon as well to emphasize Psalm 121. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. From where shall my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep your soul. The Lord will guard your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Lord, prepare our hearts for your word. May your Holy Spirit be active in the lives and the hearts of your people. May we not go out of here without being touched by your word and strengthened by your word and applying your word to our lives. May we not be just hearers of your word, but doers of your word. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was a young boy, my mother always taught me and my brothers that God was watching us. And I believed her. I was not sure who this God was, but I just knew that I better watch out, for if I did something bad, God would come down on me and do something to me. I only thought of God as someone like an elderly parent, ready to punish me if I was not good. It's like she had this thing in the back pocket, and then she pulled it out and she said, "You know, God's watching you. God's watching you." For you see, I didn't have a real personal relationship with God, and I didn't know Him. It was not until I believed upon Jesus Christ that I began to see God in a different way. I saw the God of the Bible as a caring God who sent Jesus Christ down to earth to save me from my sins. I saw that the God of the Bible loves His children and has given them all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. I saw that the God of the Bible has His hand upon my life as He watches over me and keeps me safe. Have you had the same experience just knowing God's hand is upon your life? Have you seen how God has worked out things in your life as you have realized He is with you and watching over you? I am sure each one of you have a testimony of how God has watched over your life. And you notice it, especially when you travel. Sometimes we take it for granted, but when we travel, we notice how God watches over us. You know, often when we travel, we take it for granted that we might have an accident. But as you know, anything can happen when we get in our cars or travel on a jet or even a train. We know that God is the one who keeps us safe. And His hand is upon our lives and He's watching over us. In good and even in bad times, He watches over us. When we study Psalm 121, we see that it is not only when we are traveling that God watches over us, but that He watches us over now and forever more. For we read in that Psalm that God never sleeps and that our help comes from the Lord. We need God's care and help to keep us safe. When we come to Psalm 121, we see God's people singing this psalm and asking their God for help as they travel. This psalm was designed to be sung in view of the mountains of Jerusalem. And this psalm is a psalm of ascent to be sung for those pilgrims who left their homes to come to worship in Jerusalem during the festival season. The pilgrims are just about to enter Jerusalem after a long and tiring journey, usually on foot for several miles. And as they lift their eyes, all they see as they come into Jerusalem is the hills and the mountains of Jerusalem. I can imagine their hearts would be beating fast as they leaned over to encourage their children, telling them that they were almost there after this long journey. They would lead their children in this song. They would say, look at the hills. I lift my eyes to the mountains or hills. From where shall my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who keeps it or watches over you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps or watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is the shade of your right hand. The sun shall not smite you or harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil. He will keep you or watch over you. Notice how many times it says keep. The Lord will guard or watch over your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forever. What hope and encouragement to know as you lift up your eyes to the hills that there is our great and awesome God, the creator and sustainer of the universe, who personally knows us and our needs, and he comes to us in order to help us. My hope and prayer as you apply this psalm to your life is that you find how gracious our God is when you seek only him for help, especially when you face adversity and trials. Spurgeon, in a series on the Psalms, The Treasury of David, points out a very interesting point when he describes Psalm 121. He says, there's a pattern of steps taken with this one foundational truth about how the Lord helps us. And with each step that we take in this psalm, we see how the Lord expands his care for each one of us. Thus, in this psalm, the idea of my help expressed in verse 1 is repeated in verse 2. This has now become a step by which in verse 3 we reach a higher truth or explanation of my help, as he will not let your foot slip. He watches or keeps over you, will not slumber. The same idea with a slight modification re-embodied in verse 4. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. See how he keeps adding to that one foundational truth? Another step is reached in verses 5 and 6, where we read, the Lord watches or keeps over you. The Lord is now the shade of your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The next step of the song is attained in verse 7, where the truth is implied in the name Jehovah unfolds himself in the application to preservation. The Lord will protect you from all evil. Notice that. He will keep or watch over your soul. It is further enlarged in verse 8, where we read that the Lord will not only watch over your life, but your coming and going both now and forevermore. Each step is developed. And the thing you ought to think about in this psalm is the keeping, the idea of watching. Watching over you. And he does it in a variety of ways. And that's what he does. He builds a staircase. You see, the psalmist opens up the psalm with a question as he lifts up his eyes to the mountains. He asks this question, where does my help come from? The question I have for you is the same question. Whom do you seek when you need help? Whom do you seek when you need help? Where are you looking for help and salvation? Do you remember when the disciples were in a boat and a fierce storm came upon them and they feared for their very lives? And Jesus Christ was in the presence of the disciples, but he was sleeping in the midst of the storm. The disciples went and they woke him up, saying, Lord, save us! We're going to drown! And Jesus replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then Jesus got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Disciples at least went to the right person for help. Have you been there with the disciples in the boat? As you are about to sink in despair and depression, for so many things have come upon you at once, you're totally overwhelmed, and you just don't know what to do about it. Who do you turn to when you're facing health issues? How about not having enough money for your bills? How about problems in your relationships? Maybe with a spouse or your kids or even a friend, or somebody you're close to. How do you handle your storms and difficulties of life? Why is it we first, when we are seeking help, try to solve our issues or problems within ourselves? How does that work out for you? Not too good, right? After that, we try that, and sometimes you seek out a friend, and then you finally realize we should seek out our God and the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing our triune God is with you, for the Holy Spirit reminds you of this truth. But how long does that take you to realize that? You begin to cry out for help to God, and He calms your storm, even as Jesus calmed the storm for the disciples. The psalmist tells us that we should go to God first for help, and He will help us. God even uses our brothers and sisters in Christ as He brings them in the picture in order to help us, for we need each other. And boy, do we ever need prayer. Prayer is so important in our lives. We are all sojourners. Do you believe that? Like the pilgrims traveling in a very hostile world that is against the gospel of Jesus Christ. And life can be downright painful at times. So whom do you seek for help in your life to lead you in your life? I can truly say from the inspired word of God that the true believer can only find help and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is our song to sing from the top of our lungs. I will lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Lift up your eyes, my Christian friends. And I ask you to lift up your eyes with hope and confidence, realizing that we can never be saved or helped in our own strength, but only in the strength of the Lord. Let us rest completely in God's love and character, in all His divine attributes and promises from Scripture. We are to trust Him completely, and as we do, we will be truly blessed in our lives. Our text describes the name of God as Jehovah. That means that our God is a covenant-keeping God who keeps His promises to us. And the psalmist directs our attention to the Lord, or Jehovah, who is the self-existing one who keeps in relationship with His people. How does Jehovah keep in relationship with His people? He keeps us as we trust in Jesus Christ alone for salvation. It is in our redemption that we are truly blessed in Jesus Christ. We are His children. Everyone here in the worship service needs the help from the Lord, for no one here can save themselves from sin. And it is only in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to rescue us from sin, that we are saved. We are united in Christ and in a relationship as we call to Him for help. I often tell people in the world that I do not believe in a religion, but I do believe in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Where does your help come from this morning? Are you relying and trusting in Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God, who has sent Jesus Christ to the world to redeem you from your sin? You see what Jesus does? He brings, through His life, death, burial, and resurrection, eternal salvation and help for us sinners. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's all about the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want to turn this world upside down, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you want help from Jehovah, the covenant-keeping God who redeemed you from your sins, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Live by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have yourself in total dependency beyond God throughout all your days. Have you trusted in Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, was buried, and raised again in order to not only pay for your sins, but completely have victory over sin and death? Or are you seeking help in the things of the world that the world has to offer that is so temporary and cannot save or help you in your sin? Listen to me. God's word says that you cannot do anything in your own strength. to save yourself. This is why the psalmist answers his own question. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. What do you believe in your heart and mind this morning? Do you believe that truth? Are you relying upon the Lord, especially when you're facing a storm or trial in your life? Well, the psalmist further describes our Lord Jehovah, not only in terms of redemption in the covenant name of God, but by using this name for God, but also in creation. He is the maker of heaven and earth. Now, all I have to ask you is this. Look all around you. Look all around you, believers in Jesus Christ. Look unto the hills and know that it is the Lord who made them. Help is on the way. And right when we cry out and need it, God is there to take care of any emergency. And He is even better than 911. He really is. He has heaven and earth at His disposal to meet our needs. And He desires to take care of us. Remember the disciples in the boat? It is Jesus Christ, the Creator of heaven and earth, our Savior and Lord, who can stand up in a boat and command the waves to be still. Do you believe He can do that for you? I do. So as you sojourn and travel here as a stranger and alien in this world, realize that this is not your home, but realize that there is a God who is so powerful and loving, and His desire is to help you in every situation of your life. And then this is the catch that I want you to hear, because He's in control of everything that happens in your life. Do you believe this? As some of you know, I'm a trauma chaplain at Oak Isle Regional Hospital. And I often get called to the hospital when there's an accident or stabbing or a shooting. Whatever happens to somebody, they go to the trauma center, and sometimes they'll call me to come in. Anything, and this is something I have to ask you, anything can happen to us in a given day. And sometimes we might end up being one of those family members in the hospital facing bad news about a loved one. We don't know. Life is so uncertain. Life is so fragile. We don't know. Well, within 2 days, I was called back for three different families. The first one was a 33-year-old patient, a woman, who passed away on an operating table as she was having a heart operation. The doctor had warned the family that she only had an 80% chance to really get through the surgery, because her heart was so weak and they had to go ahead and do the surgery. But when I came into the hospital, I met with the family. The doctor was there talking to them, and all I could see was crying and weeping, which I would be too. I was practically crying with them. And this is a 33-year-old woman. She was actually an inmate, and she was going to be getting out of prison in August. And they were there every day for 2 or 3 months with this woman. And here they were. I asked them what faith they had, and they said they were Christians. And we talked, and I shared some scripture with her, and I prayed with them. But they wanted help, and they wanted prayer. They didn't know who else to go to but God. And there I was to help them. Another call, it was the next day. It was the British family that was here on vacation. They called it a holiday. They were going to spend 2 weeks here, and they were just enjoying themselves. And they got into a horrible car accident. He got disoriented because the way they drive in England, the way we drive, probably you see the problems. And the husband and the wife were in the front seat, and they didn't get hurt seriously. But their 15-year-old daughter, it hit right where she was, and she had a serious head injury. And the husband was not a believer. He told me that, and so I witnessed to him. And the wife was upstairs. She came down, and we visited, and I talked to the wife. She was a believer. They go to a United Methodist Church in England, and she was a very faithful believer. The husband thought that maybe I could come in as a chaplain and pray with him, even though he wasn't a believer. And she was flown off to Arnold Palmer because she was a child, and they sent him off to Arnold Palmer Hospital in Orlando. They were you could just imagine The husband was guilty, felt guilty because he was driving. The wife was there. They both wanted to get to Orlando as fast as they could, but they were stuck in Ocala. And it just was just horrible to be there. But that's what can happen to us. We don't know any given situation. And, you know, I just had to comfort them, say a prayer with them, and talk to them. And the wife, we were talking about trials, and the wife said, you know, we just had a lesson about that, about going through trials. And little did I know I'm going to go through a trial. The last I heard, they're trying to get the daughter flown back to England at this time. But the doctor gave good prognosis, but, you know, you don't know with a head injury. You don't know with a head injury. No sooner did I leave the hospital, I was called for the third family. It was the next day, and the third family was a head-on collision. Two Mustangs, actually. And it was sad because the mother was up on the floor. She was injured seriously, but she was going to recover. There was two sons and two dogs in the car. One son didn't get hurt that much, and he was flown to Shan's hospital. The other son died, passed away. He was only 8 years old. Actually, the two dogs died in the car wreck as well. And so here I am coming in, the husband, and to complicate all this, the husband had just lost his 20-year-old son to suicide 4 months prior. Okay? And here I was, and all he wanted was a prayer, and he sought help from the Lord. Because who else can you go to in times like this? Even unbelievers. I mean, you know, even unbelievers, the first thing they say when they're in an accident or whatever is, oh, God. Oh, God. You see, in all three families, there was faith, which I praise God for, in the Lord to sustain them. And I was there to help and comfort them during their trials. Later, we had to go up on the floor and tell his wife, and the husband was there to tell his wife that her son had died. Now think about this. They lost two sons within 4 months. You see, this psalm echoes what we all know, and that when things like this happen in our lives, the first thing even an unbeliever says is, oh God, when something bad happens to them. We are very helpless people. And in need of our great God, our Redeemer and Creator, to come to our aid and to help us. As I was lying in my bed, I was thinking about the sermon. I've been living with this for a while, this sermon. And 2 Corinthians 12:9 came to me. And Paul is writing, and he says this. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest in me. When we feel weakness in ourselves, we can depend on Jesus Christ, and Jesus will give us his power. If you want to know how to cope through all these things, rest on Jesus and give it to him. Rest on him. Give it to him. Why does he say in Philippians 4:13, Paul says, I can do all things. Doesn't say some things. I can do all things through him, Jesus, who strengthens me. This is how we can handle any trial that comes our way. Jesus must increase in our lives and we must decrease and depend 100% on him. God tests our faith in times like these, and strengthen our hearts so that we can go on in life. It's so hard to count all of this as joy in trials and difficulties, but James tells us that this testing produces perseverance. Perseverance. Who is it that you go for your help and your strength? God is our Redeemer. God is our Creator who desires to have an intimate relationship with you through the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ. We call this union with Christ. We need to depend on him, for we are really helpless, and we desperately need God and the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. So having described the God of the Bible in verses 1 and 2, and telling us to go to him as our only source of help and salvation, the psalmist begins to build the staircase with these individual steps. And I want you to know that all these steps in this psalm make one staircase. Make one staircase. And all you can do is climb. Climb up as you get to know God more and more. In other words, every time we climb a new step, we experience a new way in which our God helps us. Let's continue to climb the steps and see how our God helps us. Verse 3 tells us that He will not let your foot slip. He will not let your foot slip. Though the paths of life can be dangerous and difficult, yet we will stand fast, for our God Jehovah will not let us slide or fall. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, our meditation verse, in the great resurrection chapter of victory and sin over death, Paul tells us, therefore, dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. My brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to walk carefully in this world and trust in the Lord for everything. And as we take these steps of life serving Jesus, we will not falter or fall, for Jehovah helps us. The question I have for you now is, where have you been walking for God lately? Where have you been walking lately? You see, God is watching over us. God knows where we're going to go. He knows when we're going to stop. He knows everything about us. And He will not let your foot slip. He will not let your foot slip. In Psalm 1, the godly person does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. Proverbs 16, a great chapter to know. Proverbs 16:9, it says, the mind of the man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. The Lord directs his steps. He knows exactly where you're going. God keeps his children in his ways, leading us in his paths of righteousness, not allowing our foot to slip, for he keeps us. Why? Because he watches over you and does not slumber. In other words, God's character is not bound in a state of inactivity or a light sleep or dozing off from time to time. Now, man, I have to talk to you about this because I think we're guilty of dozing off. When I get in my lazy boy, they don't call that a lazy boy for nothing. I get in my little comfy couch and my lazy boy, and I turn the TV on. I'm going to watch something, and in about 10 minutes, I'm... Right? Well, guess what? God doesn't do that. He doesn't doze off. He doesn't slumber, but he watches over us continually. Slumber means to sleep lightly, to doze off or take a nap. Our God does not even do this, for his eyes are upon us. You know, I was thinking about that, and I don't think God has any eyelids, because he always has his eyes open, watching over us. He doesn't close them. We should find great assurance and comfort knowing that God providentially, and this is the providence of God, is there for us day and night, keeping watch over us. When danger is all around us, our preserver is awake, and he will not permit us to fall. A modification in this verse adds sleep as well. No fatigue or exhaustion can cast our God into a sleep. His watchful eyes are never closed. He never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always watching over us. He keeps us. God does not sleep. He's always watching over us. And he's in complete control of whatever happens in our lives. And that is why we need to trust in him. For he is our help and our salvation. It's interesting that if you read Psalm 4, which we did in our Sunday school lesson, we see this truth lived out in the life of David. David is in distress. Enemies are slandering him. In the midst of his distress, we see David worrying? No. We see David running around, or I got to get out of here? No. We see David sleeping. He says, I will lie down and sleep in peace, for you alone, O Lord Jehovah, make me dwell in safety. David can sleep not fearing his own life, because he knows that God, his God, never slumbers nor sleep, but watches over and keeps him. Praise God. What is keeping you awake at night? Does worry consume your life? Are you worried about your children, your finances, or anything? I want to tell you, as you trust and rest in God's almighty hand, you will sleep very peacefully knowing that God is watching over you and is with you during your trials and even when things are going well. He's with you. As I said in our call to worship, no one, think about that, nothing that happens to you will be able to snatch you out of Jesus' hand. For in John chapter 10, our shepherd never lets our hands go, no matter what we are going through in our lives. Praise God. Can I hear an amen at least?
Amen.
Amen. In fact, the next step further tells us that God watches over us and keeps us so that He becomes our shade at our right hand. A shade gives protection from the burning heat and the glaring light. God is our shield who protects us and even guards our right hand as we fight whatever comes upon us, as we cry out to Him for help. The right hand, we start raising. I don't know if you're left-handed, but whatever. But in the right hand, the idea is it's the first thing you use for protection. God is our shield who protects us, guards our right hand. Day and night, sun and moon, God shelters us 24 hours a day. In Isaiah 4:6, in the context of describing the branch of righteousness who is Jesus Christ, Isaiah tells us this: it, the canopy of the cloud by smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night that led the people of God in the desert, will be a shelter and shade from the heat of day and a refuge and hiding place from the storm and rain. You see, God is our canopy. God is our shelter. God is our shade. God is our shield. And we know when we cry out to God for help, He will answer and keep us under His protection. God told Abram not to be afraid, for I am your shield, your very great reward. What other reward would you want than God? In Psalm 28:7, the psalmist tells us that the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I am helped. And in Psalm 115, 9-11, we are told, O house of Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. You who fear Him, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. The sun will not smite you, meaning to attack or afflict you by you suddenly with injury or death by day or night. Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that one of the pieces of our armor is a shield of faith so that we can withstand even the evil one, Satan. We need to trust our God and our Savior. The last and final step is found in verse 7 and 8. And again, we see this step on our staircase amplified. Notice He watches over you by not slumbering or sleeping. He watches over you by being the shade of your right hand day and night. And now He protects us from all evil. The NIV translation says, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. What do we pray in the Lord's Prayer? We are taught from Jesus to need to ask God to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Jehovah keeps the believer through the work of the Holy Spirit from all harm or evil by preserving our souls. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 1, chapter 6, that He who began a work in us will carry it on to completion until the day of redemption. And Peter tells us in 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4, he says this, and listen to this carefully. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these things, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, and then listen to this, and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Our soul is kept from the dominion of sin as believers, from the influences of the world, for God keeps us from all harm. What can harm a soul that is kept of the Lord? Think about that. He will not only watch over your life, but He will do it over your coming and going, both now, in the present, and forevermore, into all eternity. God is the keeper of our souls. God will take us into eternity with Him, even as we see our last step, as we climb higher into the mountains and we gaze upon Him with our own eyes, as we see all the fullness of His glory. God is our help in so many ways, and as God is helping us right here on earth and forevermore in eternity. We get to heaven and praise God, He's going to help us. Praise God. Do you realize that God will not only help you here, but in eternity? From this time forth and forever? He doesn't give up on us. He's holding us. We're in His hands. Who is your help today? Who is the salvation for your soul? Whom do you trust in right now? Do you trust in your own strength and works? Or do you place your trust and faith in Jesus Christ alone for salvation? Jesus is the ultimate keeper of your soul, for when you trust in Him as He went to the cross for you, thus dying, being buried, and raised again, you will live forever and ever with Him into eternity. What a blessing to realize that our God is our help and our salvation. What a blessing to know that through prayer we can have communion with God through the Lord Jesus Christ at any time, any hour. You can even bother Him at 3 a.m. because He's going to be up. Right? If you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, come to Him and He will give rest for your soul. Repent. Be sorry you offended a holy God, and believe that Jesus died, was buried, and risen again for you. You know what the greatest help that you could ever receive? That's deliverance from sin. That's when you believe in Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And I encourage you to look deep into your heart. If you're not 100% sure that you are a Christian and you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, come talk to the elders and we will help you. We will lead you to come to know Christ as your personal Savior and Lord. And Christian, are you trusting your God for your help? Do you truly believe that He is in control of everything that happens to you, that He's watching over you? Trust and believe in our God through the Lord Jesus Christ, and know and experience the peace of God that transcends all understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have heard